Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
Hey, what is up, friends? I'm Scott Hodge, and I want to welcome you back to our Orchard Conversations podcast. The Orchard is an inclusive spiritual community that is rooted in the ways of Jesus. And so we are really glad you've joined us today. We are currently in a series right now entitled From Me to We. And as you might have guessed, we're taking a deep dive into the power of community, the beauty of interconnectedness, and the practical steps we can take to build a life that's not just about me, myself, and I, but about we, ourselves, and us. And so if you've missed joining us these past couple of weeks, you can catch up by going to our orchardconversations.com page. And if you have joined us, you'll know that to get us started, a couple weeks ago, I spent some time setting up the series by exploring the vital concept of interdependence, helping us to realize that we, friends, are at our best when we are not trying to do it alone. And then last week, Anna Hammond took us on a powerful journey into the art of vulnerability. Vulnerability. That's always a word I have a hard time saying, by the way. Vulnerability. Vulnerability. I'll get it one of these days. Anyway, Anna teaching us that true connection comes when we dare to be our authentic selves. And friends, this week, we're thrilled to have Benjamin J. Thomas here. Glad I can say his name, all right? to guide us through another pivotal topic, the skill of truly listening. Man, this is an important one, because in a world where everyone wants to be heard, but few are willing to listen, Benjamin's going to dive into the transformative power of simply stopping to truly hear, not just listen to, but to hear what others are saying. So grab a cup of coffee, grab a wine or beer, what maybe you're watching this in the evening, or water, Shasta, whatever excites you. Find a comfortable spot and prepare to be challenged and inspired as we journey from me to we, one conversation at a time.
Today, friends, we are talking about moving from hearing to listening. Two words that we often use pretty interchangeably, but mean some really different things. This might seem very basic, but let's start with this. What is hearing anyway? Hearing is pretty amazing, actually. It's how we pick up sounds from the world around us. It starts with us recognizing sound waves, basically the beats of the air moving around us that hit our ears. And these waves make their way into our ear canal, hit the eardrum, and make it kind of dance to their tune. This dance moves along a trio of tiny little bones into a snail-shaped party floor called the cochlea, filled with fluid. Here, these tiny little cells ride the wave, changing those dance moves into electrical signals. And these pulses, these signals, take a trip along the nerve highway straight to the brain. Now, our brain is like a seasoned DJ and knows the tunes really well. So when these signals hit the brains, it figures out really quickly what kind of track is playing. It's sort of like Shazamming a song. So when we hear a dog bark, our brain instantly goes, "Ah, that's a dog," because it remembers the sound from all the other times that we've heard dogs bark. And this is where hearing ends. This is where hearing hits its limits, because the moment we assign meaning to something, we close down. We're no longer fully open and receptive to new ideas and information. That part already happened, and we're moving on. And hearing is great. You know, it's done a great job for our species. It's the reason that we're here today. If we couldn't hear things and label them really quickly and name them, we'd never know that crunchy sound and growl behind us is a werewolf sneaking up on us to attack us and eat us.
Okay, I think he's coming.
Oh, shit!
Are you okay? Oh, I'm sorry, Ben.
But don't be mistaken. Hearing is not listening. So then what is listening? Listening is a state of being. Listening involves a shift in consciousness from hearing and labeling, hearing, labeling, hearing, labeling, hearing, labeling, to persistent openness. An openness that can really only be achieved by observation and then observation of that observation. Releasing any kind of naming that inevitably will occur and then returning back to listening. That naming and then observing, returning back to listening. That whole process from moving from superficial hearing is kind of like the moving from the head to the heart, the whole body. And though science has really struggled to talk about this and name this, most spiritual paths have picked up on this difference. Think about the number of Jesus's teachings that are about moving us from literal head knowledge about a certain topic or spiritual truth to real inner transformation. And for centuries, millennia, actually poets and artists, mystics have recognized this and been able to talk about this. Rumi writes that the soul has been given its own ears to hear things that the mind does not understand. You know, other cultures have been better at this than us, actually, too. We get hearing and listening all mixed up, but some cultures actually even have separate words for these two different types of being present. There's this Japanese word called satori, and it refers to a sudden awakening or a kind of a tuning into a deeper understanding beyond the surface level of things. The Aboriginal Australians have a word called a dadiri, which refers to this deep kind of spiritual listening and like a stillness and awareness, a lack of naming things. We don't really have a word for that in the English language. So why the pseudoscience spiritual lesson? Because this feels so important to us right now. Our culture desperately needs really good listeners. Listening, true listening, can generate connection between us, empathy, and ultimately healing. And we don't get better at listening by like a magic spell or a special prayer or I can't sprinkle little fairy dust listening magic on you and make you a better listener. We get better, like everything else in life, by practicing. By practicing listening. So today, I'm going to give you a few ideas, tools that will hopefully help you become a better listener in two areas, outer listening and inner listening. We're going to start with inner listening. You ever wonder why you get all your good ideas in the shower? You're working on a project, trying to figure out a solution to a practical problem or matter, or hearing advice from other people and racking your brain so hard to muscle out a solution. And then you take part in the modern ritual of taking off your clothes, putting your phone away, and stepping into a warm cocoon of steamy water all over you with nothing to do except be, and I guess get clean. And in those few minutes, you find yourself getting ideas, having innovation occur. Your brain just gets wired a little differently. It's because you've just stepped into a place of true listening. Try this with me for a minute. Close your eyes for a moment. Now take a big deep breath in and let it out. And feel your shoulders kind of relax. And now tune into your breath's natural rhythm. Just noticing, not trying to control it, no changes. Just feel that gentle rise and fall. Watch your breath. And as you shift your focus inward, picture an inner mirror of sorts, kind of reflecting your thoughts as they drift by. And when your mind wanders, just gently, kindly, bring it back to your breath. And when we simply notice our thoughts and watch them, it's easier for us to realize that we are not our thoughts. That there's a you that's here right now, that's aware of what's going on upstairs in that mind of yours. And that you that observer, some people call that the true self, or self with a capital S. Some might call it Christ consciousness. You're connected to it right now. And that's the self that we want to make room for and learn to listen to. It's a small voice, it's a still voice. And that voice seems to communicate less in direct words and more through symbol and feeling and through your body. Now, slowly bring your awareness back to the room, to the chair beneath you, the sounds around you. Take a deep breath in, let it out. When you're ready, gently open your eyes. You know, the more we practice this, the more we grow into deeper connection with that eternal part of ourself. And we get better at this state of listening, and more capable of becoming then true outer listeners. Let's talk about outer listening now. And for this, I asked my wife, Joy, to join me. Okay, Joy, I'm going to ask, be really vulnerable here and ask a question.
Okay.
When have you experienced me being a really good or a really poor listener?
I think I can always tell when you're listening well or when I feel really heard is when I feel like you're being present and you have like no agenda for the conversation. It's totally like you're not pitying me, you're not like trying to solve it, you're just with me in it. So I guess showing a lot of empathy and presence compared with other times when it's like maybe you have your own things going on and you seem distracted or something.
Yeah, I get it. Thanks.
Yeah.
So there's a word Joy used to distinguish between the good and bad types of listening that I do. And that's the word empathy. Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, a book that you may be familiar with, has a really great way of talking about this. He calls it empathic listening. And he talks about the importance of developing the habit of empathic listening. Here's how he defines it. He defines empathic listening as reflecting what a person feels and says in your own words to their satisfaction so they feel listened to and understood. This type of listening involves your whole being, not just your head, not just your ears, but your ears, your head, your eyes, your heart, your whole body. Now, it's not just about agreeing with somebody, but really deeply understanding them and where they're coming from, both emotionally and intellectually. This is why practicing inner listening that we just did earlier to ourselves is really important, because as we get better at that, as we get better at developing our sensitivity to ourselves, and to God, we actually grow in our ability to listen to others. And unlike the typical way a lot of us have learned to listen, which is with the intent of gathering information so that we can reply, empathic listening is carried out with this intent to understand. That's like the first objective in empathic listening, is that we understand someone. And when we do that, we get inside their skin, we get inside their frame of reference, and we start to be able to see the world that they see and experience just a little bit of how they experience life. We get to know their paradigm. Because what happens is words have a, you know, they're great for communicating from here, but words have a limit. And this kind of dialed in, really empathic listening can take us beyond those limits and create greater connection between us. Rabbi Alfred Benjamin notes that genuine listening is hard work. There's little about it that's mechanical. We hear with our ears, but we listen with our eyes and mind and heart and skin and guts as well. And again, just like inner listening, this empathic listening takes practice. And since most of us are conditioned from birth only to listen on that surface level, it's going to take practice for us to get better at this. So we're actually going to do it together. We're going to try a little exercise together. We're going to pair up for this activity. into groups of two or three if there's an odd number. And if you're joining us virtually or on the podcast, you can do this later with a family member or friends. The whole point of it is to practice empathetic listening. That's striving to understand before being understood. So here's how we'll do it. Step one, sharing. Person A, you will share a recent experience that you felt a strong emotion, like joy or frustration or surprise. It could be anything. You know, something that happened at home or something that happened at work or, you know, whatever. You've got 2 minutes. 2 minutes to share. Person B, your job is just to be there, just to listen, without interrupting. 2 minutes. Step two, reflecting. Once person A is done, person B, reflect back what you heard. Summarize person A's words and emotions. Use phrases like this. Like helpful phrases would be like, what I'm hearing is, or it sounds like or feels like you felt this. Think of yourself as just a mirror of what they said. Step three is clarifying. Now, person A, then it's your turn to elaborate or clarify or provide just a little bit more information if it feels necessary. And then step four is responding. Person B, then after fully understanding person A's perspective, share any of your thoughts or feedback, whatever's kind of coming up for you personally from that. Now, here's the warning. Person B, your mind is constantly going to want to focus on responding. This whole exercise, you're going to want to skip ahead. Your mind is going to want to skip ahead. When that happens, don't beat yourself up for it. Just kind of take notice and do whatever you can to pull yourself back into the present, pull yourself back into your body to listen and really give full attentiveness to the other person while you're listening. This is part of the practice, okay? And then when you're done with those four steps, switch roles, repeat, do the whole thing. Got it? Okay. Table guides, go ahead and press pause on the video. Partner up in groups of two or three. Listen to each other. I'll see you in just a few minutes. Welcome back. I hope that that was fun. There's this story in the Gospel of John that you might be familiar with where Jesus and his disciples encounter a man who was born blind. And the disciples ask Jesus, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And their question reflects a pretty common understanding at that time that personal or some sort of ancestral sin was the cause of afflictions like his. However, Jesus doesn't immediately delve into some theological explanation or rush to correct them. Instead, he first just takes a moment to acknowledge the individual's experience and the broader purpose that could be served through it, saying this man, saying neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in him. Then he proceeds to engage with the man himself by applying mud to his eyes and literally touching the man and then instructing him to wash in the pool, which then the man does and he receives his sight. It's this really beautiful picture of Jesus seeking to understand on multiple levels and then creating healing through that understanding, both for the man who was healed and for those who were just watching. And it's that spirit of seeking first to understand that our world really needs right now. Instead of rushing to conclusions, rushing so quickly to respond with the things that we think we know, just understanding, just being. Brené Brown, who we quote a lot about in this series because she's good at this. She writes that empathy is simply listening, holding space, withholding judgment, emotionally connecting and communicating that incredibly healing message of you are not alone. You are not alone. Friends, what better gift could we give our families and friends in our cities, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our planet, than that gift of seeing, of hearing, and you are not alone. We're going to conclude now, and I want to offer a prayer for us. We're going to put it on the screen if those of you who are watching this, if you're listening, just listen with your full bodies to this prayer. God of silence and God of all sound, help us to listen. Guide our hearts to the deep listening of our souls, eager to hear your gentle call. Grant us attentive ears, hearts, and bodies, opening, observing, returning. Today, help us to hear anew. God of empathy and God of all hearts, teach us to listen to the lives of others, to hear your whispers echoing in their stories. May our responses reflect nothing but endless love, motivated to deeper and deeper understanding. So whether in silence or with words, may our hearts and ears be open, and may our words and actions be your love made visible. Today, help us be love anew. Amen. Friends, I want to offer you a few questions for contemplation and conversation this week, either as part of a table gathering, if you're connected to one, or with a group of friends or family, or maybe even just on your own, reflecting in a journal this week. First question is this: reflect on that empathic listening exercise that we did together. What did you learn about yourself during it? What was challenging about it? What did you take away from that experience? What did you learn from that experience? Second, how do you usually find yourself listening in conversations? To respond or to understand? Like, what is your default? What steps could you take to shift toward a more empathic listening? Third question, how might the practice of inner listening, or maybe even deepening or making that practice richer of inner listening, how might it change the way that you interact with others, and how does it resonate with your own spiritual journey? And lastly, as a community, as a group of people connected to each other, how can we support each other in becoming better listeners? And this might even be something for your family if you're watching this as a family. How can you support each other better in becoming better listeners? What steps can we take, all of us collectively, to foster a culture of empathic listening within and beyond our community? All right, friends, take these into contemplation, conversation this week. We'll see you soon.
Friends, you know, we are continually inspired by the love and genuine connection that thrives in the Orchard community. You know, the Orchard is so much more than a Sunday service. It is a living, breathing community where lives are transformed by following the teachings of Jesus in a relevant and meaningful way. And for this reason alone, we want to invite you to participate in the work we're doing through your financial support. You know, we've learned that making a lasting impact doesn't require being the biggest or the loudest. You know, it's about focusing on goodness, renewal, and heartfelt conversations. And so your financial contribution, well, it enables us to continue these enriching dialogues and foster spiritual growth. And so whether it's a one-time gift or a recurring donation, please know that every contribution makes a difference. And also know this, if you're unable to contribute financially at the moment, or you're just not sure, you're not sure if you're able to trust who we are yet, maybe you're really new, we understand that. That's totally, totally okay. Take all the time you need. And know that you are welcome to be part of the Orchard regardless of your financial contribution. But I do want to say, those of you who are ready to support this work and want to be a part of this unfolding story, we invite you to join us in making that a reality. Also want to say a big thank you to all of you who so generously support this work. Your generosity is making a difference. If you'd like to support us, you can do that in a couple different ways. You can, if you're watching this on Sunday, you can click the link in the chat window. It'll take you directly to our giving page. You can also give via the Orchard app. You can go to our website as well, theorchardcommunity.com. And as always, you can mail a check to us at P.O. Box 7688, Aurora, Illinois, 60507. Again, friends, thank you so much for your generosity. It really is making a difference. Well, listen, before we wrap up, again, Benjamin, thank you for challenging us today and speaking into our hearts. As we leave this gathering, though, here is my prayer, my hope, friends, okay? May your hearts be filled with hope and your minds be inspired by possibility. So now go forth into the world, not just as spectators, but as active participants in the creation of a better tomorrow. In the name of love that surpasses understanding, the light that guides us, and the life that sustains us, may you be blessed. May you be a blessing to others, and may you never forget that you are deeply loved. Amen. Amen. Friends, you are truly loved. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon.